One of the more interesting observations I made when I arrived here 4 years ago to be your pastor was a small sign on the back door of the sacristy. It's about the size of a normal nameplate that might be on an office door with someone's name emblazoned across it. I really don't know who put the sign on the door, and it looks like it might have been there for a few decades now. And what's most remarkable about this sign on the back door of the sacristy, something I actually stop to consider just about every time I open the door, is what it says. The sign reads, "Prayer is work." I suppose whoever put the sign up on the door wanted the altar servers and the lectors and the sacristans to read it as motivation as they enter into the sacristy to prepare for Mass. But the more I think about it, the more "prayer is work" expresses the most important truth of all this church stuff. Maybe at no other time in recent history is the institutional church under such attack. From within, certainly, and from outside too. We all know the difficulties that our church is enduring now because of a few bad Catholics among 1.2 billion good Catholics. But even more than this most disturbing past few weeks, the institutional church is suffering more and more as our society becomes more and more technologically advanced, more and more sophisticated, more and more wealthy, more and more seemingly without need of church at all. Now, I bring all this up because of our second reading, one of the most important readings in our Catholic tradition, a reading that expresses the truth that salvation, while total gift from God, is something in which we must participate. I'll say that again. Salvation, while it is ultimately a gift from God, it is something that we're supposed to be participating in. This passage from the Apostle James is our Catholic foundation that salvation is not a passive thing where we just sit back and God does all the saving. No, salvation is you and me participating in God's salvific work. We participate in his divinity. And the nature of his divinity is to save all people. So our job is to help him, as bizarre as this sounds, to help him save us. This week I came across a very interesting blog that talks just about this. The title of the blog article is "Faith Requires Religion." And the blogger, Father Ron Rollheiser, he tells of a book written by a German Protestant theologian who lived in the years just following the Enlightenment, the mid-1800s. And the theologian's book on the subject was titled, listen to this title, "Speeches on Religion for Those Among the Cultured Who Despise It." That's quite a title. Speeches about religion for those among the cultured who despise religion. And the book is a defense against society that has come to believe that institutional religion gets in the way of real faith, that those who believe in God don't really have to be a part of the church, that it's okay to believe in Jesus and not go to church at all. Now, he wrote this book almost 200 years ago, and with as much that has changed, there is so much that stays the same. The fastest growing Christian denomination today are called the nones. N-O-N-E-S. The nones. People who believe in God, people who believe in Jesus Christ, and maybe even people who believe the things the church holds to be true, but not in the church itself. And more tragically, the nuns don't believe in the value of a church community. Father Rollheiser explains, the perennial temptation of the cultured, the technologically advanced, the educated, the sophisticated, is to despise institutional religion, seeing it as a hindrance to true worship in the Spirit. There's a modern-day heresy, he explains, that holds that living out one's faith actually means leaving church, or at best, tolerating the church. It's pretty obvious when you look for it. When you look outside these walls into our modern American experience, books on spirituality and self-help are a $1 billion industry, while attendance at church, maybe not so much here at St. Louis, but attendance at church in general is tending to decrease. Rollheiser concludes, quite interestingly, as you and I grapple with our latest American Catholic debacle, Rollheiser wrote this blog way before the Pennsylvania or the McCarrick or the Vigano disasters. He says, very common today is the argument that true faith is compromised by religion, and true religion is compromised by the churches. The arguments are pretty much always the same, right? Church people are hypocrites, sinning all week long and then going to church to get their holy back. When I consider the church, I can't in good conscience believe that Christ intended this kind of community. My own spiritual integrity will never be able to support such a place that so often contradicts Jesus. I get it. I hear these. And I myself sometimes feel these things too. Until on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, I need something out of the sacristy and I walk over from the office to that back door where the old faded sign on the door greets me with, prayer is work. And that keeps me coming back day after day, Sunday after Sunday. Prayer is not sentimentality. Prayer is work. Listen again to the letter from James. Think about our modern, secular, technologically advanced, highly sophisticated, seemingly in need of nothing more than what we've created kind of society. Think of our Catholic problem that has broken our hearts these last few weeks and challenged our hopes. James writes, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained by the world. So many people, some of you, so many people have come to me these past few weeks angry, disappointed, hurt, wanting to do something now. Understandably so. There's no doubt that the church must do something. But while she's working every day to address the reality in which she finds herself, you and I have to do some work ourselves as well. We have to stay. We have to be church in the midst of her infirmity. I will say that again. Your job is to be church in the midst of her infirmity. What do? We continue to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We must continue to care for the poor, continue to educate the young, continue to protect the vulnerable, continue looking in on widows, continue baptizing babies, marrying young couples filled with hope, accompanying those making their journey to the God at the end of their life. We must stay and celebrate Eucharist and serve at Eucharist. We must continue to sing and read and help others to the meal. We must continue to go to confession and to holy hours and to pray vespers and rosaries, and most importantly of all, while doing these church things, as St. James charges us, we must keep ourselves unstained by the world. This is what we are to do. Prayer is work, and church is work. Rollheiser concludes, when faith forsakes the church for something it calls spirituality, so much that is essential to Christianity gets lost, not the least of which is the fact that religion is not a private search for what is highest in yourself. It is a communal search for the face of God. And maybe this is the answer to our latest quandary in the American church. It is a communal search for the face of God. Our church has much to do to right what has gone so wrong, and it will be hard work for sure, and it's going to take some time. But as the sign on the back door of the sacristy so aptly reads, prayer is work. Church is work, which makes it worthy to be the worship of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.